This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the cliffcentral.com website where there's a show for you.
This is Sex Talk on cliffcentral.com. It is Easter Friday. Welcome, everybody, in a studio full of absolutely wonderful and exciting people. Nobody's wearing bunny suits, which is a little bit disappointing. What's that phobia? Do you remember we had it once as a dirty dictionary word? The fetish. The furry thing. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was.
It was about people dress up in those cool fairy costumes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the show that I saw, and they meet up and they have they almost develop a second personality. Only there they allow themselves. Yeah, that's not the case.
No, but okay.
Why didn't you tell us to come dressed as Playboy bunnies?
Happened.
Well, we could have done that.
Hello.
We could
Hello.
Have.
I should have brought my tail.
And a very, very special guest, Daniel Herman.
Hi.
It's really cool to have you here. So we hear lots about you. You understand that.
Yes.
And we know about your continuing education in the field of relationship and sexuality.
Yeah, it's a long journey, but
and we here
I'm up for it.
We're here to educate you even more, my love.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
For the people who don't know, we started a blog about Claudine's getting engaged to her the only sucker that really wanted – no, I'm kidding. The one and only true love. That loves her to bits, really. And according to the Facebook, it does look real. And he is here, so I can't keep on saying to her that she's lying. Somebody's really offered her to marry her. And yeah, so we're kind of reviewing it, and we're watching it happening. There's a couple, which is cool. They're getting married, and they still think it's relevant. That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. So we don't have jingles at the moment, but let's still do a dirty dictionary word because I thought it was quite fun.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll do just. Well, let's do it. Let's do street jamming about.
Just like
dirty dictionary. Yeah.
An intro sound for dirty dictionary, please.
Dirty dictionary, baby. Awesome.
Jalapeno finger poppers.
Oh my word.
Jalapeno finger poppers.
Go
Any
again.
Idea?
Wait, Claudine, go with a jingle
yeah,
again.
Yeah, we need to play a jingle.
Dirty dictionary, baby.
Awesomeness.
I actually think jalapeno finger poppers. I can't even say it. I think it's when you eat spicy food and you finger your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has happened to me.
Not intentionally.
We went out for spicy prawns, and let me say, it's not fun.
Wasn't it andichio sauce?
Yeah, it could have been andichio sauce or spicy prawns. It wasn't fun.
Okay, so you actually spot on.
But
it's with jalapenos that you eat them.
Oh,
and then
really?
They're supposed to give like a little sort of burn, and then when you touch somebody.
No, it's not a little burn. It's bloody deep heat on the vagina.
Exactly. And the same, you know, when you know that thing when you just mess around with chili and then you scrape, you know, you just put in your eye a little bit. Yeah, that's the same tissue down there, same sensitivity.
Absolutely. Yeah. So stay away from the jalapeno finger poppers.
Stay away from Mexican food on dates, is what you're saying.
For first dates, Tinder dates.
Yeah. Well, no. Just make sure you wash your hands well.
What
afterwards.
Do you think is a good first date kind of food?
I think on a first date, you know, I always told my daughter from the very beginning, when you go out with somebody, be yourself from the very beginning and go and eat as much garlic as you want, as you're going to do normally. Don't be like these little girls who say, I'm just going to have a salad and I'm going to have three mouthfuls.
You really could, Shanti. I'm hiring you for jitterisms.
And ever since weird
Your characterization is amazing.
It is.
But be yourself from the beginning.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
That's it.
But
and
still, eating is always awkward on dates. So I'm a big believer in French idea of just a bottle of wine, just chat, maybe some snacks, maybe something nice, doesn't need to do.
Yes.
That was good, those oysters.
Yes, something that's going to be clean
I've
and
heard
nice.
That the worst first date food you can get is probably Greek food.
Greek food.
Because it's quite messy. You use your fingers all the time.
Yeah.
And it becomes a problem.
Exactly. No, I think it's fantastic. Do it from the beginning. Jump in from the beginning.
I don't know. I think it's different for girls. You know, we don't want bloody spaghetti sauce running down our boobs, and you know, we want to look hot and sexy.
I don't know what's wrong with you exactly.
Why?
Don't want spaghetti sauce.
How do you think she got married, John T?
All I want is chocolate. This is actually why Easter is. This is part of the reason why I could actually believe in Jesus, is because Easter is all about chocolate.
Mm-hmm. She's Jewish, by the way.
I'm the most Jewish. And the truth is chocolate is like my kryptonite.
Mm. Said when she's looking at the Easter eggs on the table.
They're all yours. There was an interesting thing on Facebook this week about how Jesus healed some people using dope.
Really?
Mm. Which
marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge fan of marijuana. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I am thinking. Are we allowed to say that on radio?
Yeah.
You can say anything you like.
Shout out to all our police officers. Listen,
I want to tell you something. A little story, and then we're going to get into something serious.
Oh yeah, let's be serious. We have to.
So, tomorrow and I were here doing a pre-record for something. Pre-recording some jingles or something. We walk into the studio and there's this rapper.
Yeah.
He's been here 3 days from America and he's got this cap and he's got all the chains and everything else. So we're chatting to the guy and we say, will you tell us a real sex story? So he says, yeah. So he goes into the booth there and he tells us the story of sex and drugs on his first night in South Africa in some club somewhere. It was a debauched story like you cannot
believe. Let's try and put it in the podcast page, that specific clip.
We can find it.
So if that's been on Sex Talk, I can just say that nobody has ever died from marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever killed anyone else from marijuana. For me, the problem, a huge problem in society is actually alcohol.
No, 100%.
Alcohol is a killer. I mean, people can't function on alcohol, you know?
Okay, so we'll do a dope advocacy show another time.
Fine, I'm just saying.
And I'm sure somebody else on the station will be very happy to do a dope and drug advocacy show.
And not so much. But again, somebody responsibly.
Exactly.
There's many ideas. Everything when it's discussed responsibly, there's many ideas to discuss.
So somebody will do it. Mm. So I thought because it was Easter, the idea is resurrection and death, or death and resurrection. Because you have to die first to be resurrected.
And also, it's a wonderful idea, but also Easter is all about sex, actually. Yeah. It's all about fertility. That's what you taught me, so I'm guessing it's true.
So there's lots of that. So I thought,
what do you mean? Tell me more. Yeah.
So I thought the death, and particularly the context I was looking at, was when people stop having sex in relationship.
Yeah.
Because that's often the death of a relationship. Because more relationships end directly or indirectly through sexual issues than any other single factor.
So true.
Because when we lose that, we've lost the basic intimacy that allows us to deal with other issues, with other problems, that allows us to keep connecting, that allows us to keep talking. And that's where estrangement starts. And then how you can actually resurrect that. How do you recreate that? And I have to tell you that over the last couple of days, and particularly yesterday, I understood so much more about relationships and what's important and what's important in life than I think I have in a long time. Because, you know, I'm in this really fortunate position where I keep on learning. And I learn from the people that I work with. I learn from my clients. When I give talks and workshops, people ask questions. And the more challenging, the more I love it. Because I'm learning all the time. And I really, really need that because I have a very high boredom threshold. So if I'm kind of sitting and repeating the same stuff over and over, I get really bored. And then I actually get distracted when I get bored because I get really, really naughty.
That's not good for
business. As do most guys.
And girls become, by the way, annoying time. And text over texting while they're bored.
I just have a question because Tamara said something interesting, and as a also Jewish, I'll disclaimer. I didn't know that Easter had anything to do with sex.
Don't look at it. Just talk into the mic.
I'm listening to you, Dan.
I'll send you new pictures of it afterwards.
He's just being polite. No.
Is that okay? Yeah.
Perfect.
There we go.
Cool, yeah. So I had no idea that Easter had anything to do with sex. So I'd love to just unpack that connection with you guys so that I can understand that a bit better.
Okay. So originally it was actually a pagan festival that was much more about fertility than anything else.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the sex connection. Because It's all about this constant rebirth, which is very much the idea of fertility. And you have to know that most of our festivals, even the Jewish festivals, have their roots in very much older pagan traditions and festivals.
Mm. Okay.
And we've just kind of put a slant on them and kind of taken them in. Because if you look at different cultures around the world and you start looking at their stories, at their myths, at the lore that they have and that they've developed over the years, you find these incredible common threads that run through cultures around the world. And a lot of what we know as religion and religious festivals is very much based on these ancient pagan festivals. And that was very much connected with the idea of the goddess, with the idea of fertility and absolutely beautiful sexual energy.
That's absolutely fascinating. Mm. And can you assure me that there's nothing sexual about the Easter Bunny?
No, I cannot assure you that at all. And there is lots that's sexual about the Easter Bunny.
Well, look what Hugh Hefner did to Bunny.
That's right. And I mean, one of the first and most successful vibrators ever has been the rabbit.
True. Yes, well,
I told you I did a joke at Parker's about the rabbit.
And nobody knew.
Yeah, it fell absolutely flat because nobody uses rabbits anymore.
There is a movie somewhere. You've got to find it. And I cannot remember the title. But if you look it up, you'll find it. It's this total takeoff of vibrators, and it's about, I think it was a British movie, that vibrators had become such a scourge that they actually banned batteries for vibrators.
Really?
Yeah, and it starts, and there's this whole underground battery service that develops in the movie, and these guys will deliver batteries to you like 1 a.m, and you got to pay this huge amount of money for.
Is this a porn?
No.
Total straight movie. It is hilarious.
I don't think there's any nudity in the movie.
Oh,
but
really?
It is an amazing story.
But Dan, going back to your rabbit and egg, these are the two symbols of that goddess that was, I think her name was like Ashtar or something like that. That was her symbols. So it was a rabbit and it was an egg, and that's how they came. And think about that time. That a lot of, well, I think it's more the Northern Hemisphere, but this is a time of rejuvenation, you know, that where they wrote all those scripts back in the day. So, you know, this is a time of rejuvenation, of spring, of, you know, go out and get your bunny, I mean, your honey, I mean, your fuck, you know.
And I got another little, when we were shooting one of the Yoni Massage DVDs.
Okay.
It was quite a long time ago. Mm. And I was doing some movements with this woman. But you couldn't see my hand because my hand was actually inside her yoni.
Yeah.
So my other hand was showing what my fingers inside
were
doing.
So like, one is in and one is out.
And on her belly, there's the shadow and it looks like rabbit ears. So we started calling it a yoni rabbit.
One of those things you don't want to know when you're, you know, you and your girlfriend are doing it, and they're like, oh, look, bunny ears. No shadow
puppetry, thank you, during sex.
Yeah, babe.
But you know what? The whole thing, sorry, I'll have to get over that obsession. The whole thing is as well, and it's also like really important, and it's something that Dan and I like set as a standard for our relationship, that obviously you get to a certain point where you've been together for a certain amount of time and, you know, from going to having sex three times a day and it's really exciting to losing that ability or that spark a little bit. And it's about open communication.
Yeah. So let me tell you some stuff. So when I started thinking about this show, originally we were going to kind of start with all the reasons why people stop having sex. And there's a lot of very definable reasons that are actually quite interesting because we're not often aware of them consciously.
No.
Yeah.
And that comes down to the reasons that we have sex and then also the reasons that we stop having sex and a lot of the reasons that we withhold sex or we use sex as a weapon, as a tool, as a manipulation, as in so many different things. But what I've learned the last couple of days, just change some stuff. It doesn't change a lot of the reasons because they're still there. But it changes the way that we are in relationships and how we keep relationships amazing and exciting. Mm. And two things came up. The one we've been talking about because I wrote about it recently, and that was the idea of constant curiosity. Mm. That is, I can't tell you, the more I think about this, I cannot tell you how important it is. Because if I'm constantly curious about myself, I'm going to keep learning about myself. I'm going to keep going deeper into myself. I'm going to keep exploring me. Mm. I'm going to share that with you, and we have something that's a whole lot more.
Yeah.
So there's emotional curiosity, and there's intellectual curiosity, and there's sensual curiosity, and sexual curiosity, and spiritual curiosity. You know, I went on Saturday. Tamar's been involved with these guys for a long time. They do these amazing sweat lodge experiences.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing voodoo, but it's not.
American Indian guy comes out, and they're incredible experiences. So I went on the weekend, and I've done a lot of sweats over the years with a lot of different people. This was the single most intense experience that I've ever had, and the impact has been huge in a lot of ways. But it's doing things like that, and it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be sitting in a sweat lodge, which for some people is just going to be way out of reality. But simply keeping that curiosity about yourself, about life, about your partner alive, with books, with music, with ideas, with foods, with tastes, with textures, this constant exploration of this amazing world that we live in.
It's really beautiful
and
what
you're
saying.
I can't tell you how important it is.
When you're curious, you also your ego takes a little bit of a knock, because it's like, if I'm curious, which means I don't know everything.
Yeah.
If I'm curious, which means I'm eager to know, which if I'm curious, I'm even maybe even more optimistic. It's a lot of things that go hand in hand with curiosity.
Yeah.
And it's a good approach.
And to be able to learn and grow together is what is going to keep it fresh and exciting.
True, because this is very interesting, because a lot of people come and see me because they want to grow, they want to explore. Problem comes when one partner says, yes, I really want to do this, and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, but how, I mean, just to play devil's advocate, I mean, how realistic is it to maintain a state of perpetual learning and curiosity in light of all the pressures of life that happen?
It's incredibly easy if you make a conscious choice to do that, because you make a choice for it as a lifestyle, not something that you dip into every now and then. That's the difference. You see, a lot of what we do is something that we sort of take out of a box, we use in very specific circumstances, and then we put it away again. When it becomes a part of who we are, so think about, how do we bring our kids up? Do we bring them up to explore the world, or do we bring them up to be scared of the world? Do we bring them up to go out into the world, or do we bring them up to be little kind of, you know, prisoners in Joburg?
Yeah, definitely.
But it is a choice.
Yes.
I mean, people choose one way or the other to suit their ideology.
But it needs to be a conscious choice that says, if there's a certain kind of life you would like to live,
you got to go out there and do it.
That's right.
I mean, I was speaking to a friend of mine who was saying, oh, I'm having problems with my sex life. And I was like, well, you're so lucky. I'm on the sex talk show now. You'll probably get a mention.
Yeah, see, we all have a friend who.
A friend who, exactly.
So tell your friend, we'd love to hear her questions,
yes,
please.
Yes. And she was talking about, you know, having problems in terms of making time for sex. And I'd spoken to you about it on a previous show about scheduling sex. And Tamar was saying that doesn't make it non-sexy in any way, but it's got to be part of the routine. It's got to be dinner, read my book, bath time, sex, and or whatever order you want to go
do
in.
Yeah. But if you don't do that, so many times it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that curiosity, I can't tell you how important and it is. Linked to that and linked to what you were saying, especially about the ego. Because a lot of us, and in our world, we are very kind of ego-driven. There's no question of that. What that prevents us doing is huge. And for me, one of the biggest learnings in the last couple of days, and I think I've always known this, but I've known it kind of in quite a, maybe an intellectual sense, and at times I've kind of dipped my toe into the water of it emotionally, but I've never connected with it the way that I did yesterday. And I would say that this is possibly the single most important thing that is going to keep you healthy, that is going to keep you happy, that is going to give you an inner peace, and that's going to allow you to have the most amazing relationships ever.
If we had a commercial break, it would be now.
That's it.
Da, 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 da. We want to know. Tell
what
us. I would click. I would
on it. I've been watching I've been watching MasterChef and Hell's Kitchen.
So they're
all
like
of those.
Building,
so
all like the building.
Who's getting kicked out?
And who's in the break? Already.
Okay, Jonty. So Jonty just said he's going to discover now the one single understanding about the healthiest way.
And it's probably for so many of us one of the single hardest things to do.
Okay, we're ready.
Vulnerability.
Hundreds, dude.
Yeah.
How vulnerable are you willing to be? how much of yourself, your Specs. Real self, are you willing to reveal? Are you willing to share? Are you willing to put on the table constantly?
And we're not talking about nagging. Sorry, Claudine. We're not talking about nagging, ladies. We're not talking about, I'm so difficult, you're not helping me, and so forth. It's vulnerability. It's a different story. Stop.
And that means revealing who you are.
Do you know what? We are actually all in the same sort of business. Releasing and getting people to be in touch with their vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
One of the most rewarding things, you're not, you're in advertising. Sorry, you've sold your soul.
Yeah, I prey on people's vulnerabilities.
Exactly.
But so it fits for you, just at the different opposite end of the spectrum.
Exactly, the opposite end of the spectrum. But working with corporates is often one of the most rewarding things that I do. Doing improvisation, getting people to perform and find their comic genius by exposing their vulnerabilities is one of the most rewarding things on the planet.
And it's so therapeutic. It sounds like people are literally getting so much from it. What exactly do you do there?
So what we actually do is we do improv games, you know, so it's a similar sort of style and format to things like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Mm-hmm. And we get people...
That was a cool show.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we get people to explore their own comedic genius through these games.
Take out the playfulness.
Exactly. Yeah. Be silly for a while.
You and John T are in the same position.
And there was an amazing there was an amazing article on one of the Tantra groups, and I wrote something similar years ago this week. It was a group called Let's Talk Tantra on Facebook that a friend of mine, Ro, already runs. And it's really amazing. But the article was, have we taken enlightenment too seriously? And spirituality is a fucking serious business, I have to say.
Well, real now that emphasis. now that you just put fucking, it's really
now we take it seriously.
Now we're serious about
but
it.
That's
but
what,
it is.
But it,
you know, the people take it very seriously.
It's become that way. Yes. You know, it's become this huge industry. There's no question of that. And it's really serious and all of this stuff. But it's about being light.
Yes.
And one of the characteristics of light is happy.
Yes.
So what happens when we're vulnerable is all of the armoring of our body, which we all have, and that starts coming into us sometimes from before we're even born. That makes us tense, that makes us tight, that makes us hard, that stops our feelings, that stops sensation, that stops emotion. That we set up as defense mechanisms becomes phenomenally heavy to carry.
Yeah.
And it takes an enormous amount of energy to do that and to keep the masks that we have in place. And I talk about this a lot in relationship workshops, that we have relationship from mask to mask.
Yeah.
Which means I have my mask on, you have your mask on, and our masks kind of connect. Mm-hmm. So very interesting kind of idea that somebody wrote recently, which was the difference between, or it was a simple question to know if something has sustainability in terms of a relationship or a connection.
Okay.
And the analogy that he used was coal or kindling.
Can you say it to the people that don't understand English?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, also, so, I didn't understand that and I speak English.
Sorry.
Okay.
What was it?
Okay, so kindling, the little twigs, when you start a fire, the small little twigs.
Okay.
So they burn very quickly. Mm. They burn strong, but there's no sustenance or substance.
Okay.
Because they burn and they're gone.
Yes.
If you light a coal fire... Coal fires burn for days.
Mm.
And you just kind of keep adding a little bit and you blow on it. So to think about...
I want some coal in my life.
There you go.
That is what I want.
Because that's what's going to sustain you for 30, 40, 50, 60
years. Dan just offered her 30,
Dan,
40
you're gonna be
years
a coal
of coal.
Man.
I've got, that's
just be a coal man.
Can I make some comments about vulnerability? Because I think what you're saying is really interesting, Jonty. So the first thing is that I feel very vulnerable right now on Sex Talk, which I think is fair.
And we embrace
thing
that.
We
feel that way every time we sit here, but we love it.
But, so I would just like to come in my own experience because, you know, before I met Claudine, you know, I was quite a late bloomer in life and sexually quite a late bloomer. I only lost my virginity I only lost my virginity in my early 20s, which is what it
That's
is.
Okay too.
But it was because
it's called
I
new
felt,
from the box. We love that. It's clean.
I think it was because I wasn't prepared to be open about it with potential partners, and it was quite a challenge for me to learn how to expose myself in not physically, but in that way to people. And I think that
we've had plenty naked people in the studio. Feel free to
take
it off.
I've seen the Instagrams. And I think it was quite interesting in terms of meeting Claudie, because Claudie is that I was still quite closed off in a lot of ways before I had my first serious relationship, which is what Claudine was to me. And because she was very open and she was prepared to be vulnerable and to call me out on my vulnerabilities, it's definitely allowed me to open up more in life and for us to have a kind of a stronger relationship because of that.
That's beautiful sharing. Thank you. That really is amazing.
Thank you. Cool.
Really, it's so honored.
People think that because we have a sex show and we believe in the people should emphasize that, you know, field in their lives, we don't believe in love and relationships. We do. And we're so happy when finally we hear somebody saying, I found somebody that is, you know, worthy, my time, my everything. And that's beautiful. It doesn't mean the journey is going to be always easy, but at least you know what you want. That's awesome.
So this is the interesting thing. So all the armor, all the masks, we do that, and a lot of it is to stop ourselves getting hurt.
Yeah.
Which means we're stopping stuff coming in. Okay. Absolutely fine. Fair enough. Nobody wants to get hurt. Simple truth is you are going to get hurt in life, full stop, and you're going to hurt people, full stop. And you have to accept that. You're going to hurt the people that you love. They are going to hurt you. That is a given. Yeah. And you're going to do it lots in your life. It's what you do with it that counts and how you manage that. That's an absolute simple truth. You cannot avoid that. But more than that, what the armor and the masks stop us doing is stop us sharing ourselves.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean, it means that I'm not going to see all of you because I'm only going to see as much of you as I'm willing to see. But it means I'm not going to show you who I really am.
Well, the truth is we, the problem there is that we actually don't know who we are.
100%.
We have created such a facade and we are wearing so many different masks that we have no idea how to expose our vulnerabilities, how to be comfortable being vulnerable. We have no idea who we actually are.
That's why curiosity becomes so important.
And vulnerability.
Because that's what will allow us to keep looking at who we are, to keep going. Into the layers. And you know, all of the workshops that I teach, and they're all different. But next, on Tuesday night, we're doing one of the most beautiful things, which is this water flow massage, which you guys have been invited to.
Thank you.
You know that.
Yes.
They're going slowly. Slowly.
We will be there naked water massage.
Claudine hasn't communicated to me exactly what it entails.
Well, so the jury is out.
Doesn't matter.
But it's not
we can be there anyway.
But on all the workshops, that's one of the biggest things. And it's not about being naked with people in a room. And a lot of the workshops, nobody gets undressed. It simply says, here's an opportunity that I can actually use something to reveal something of myself.
Yeah.
That's it. And that is the most human moment of connection that we can have. Yeah. And I wish that I could share this water massage experience, all the other stuff too, because I love it all. But this particularly with everybody, just for this moment of connection, of vulnerability, of intimacy, of love, and of being human.
I think when, as you speak, I understand the best message when all the people, really hundreds of people that came out from that workshop said, it's maybe the easiest way and the quickest way to get that mindset changed from, oh, when I work on my sensuality or my, you know, relationship, that means I'm a, what does it mean about me? Am I a swinger? All these ideas just makes your mindset goes to a different place, which says, I can be, I am my own master. I choose what I want. If I'm in a room or in a pool filled with, let's say, 20 people and two or three of them are without their clothes, it's my choice. They are in their space. I'm in my space. I don't need to look at them. It's not my interest. I don't want to take off my clothes. I'm doing my thing. It's all this gaining back your responsibility, claiming back your own power. It doesn't mean that if you work on your sensuality, you have to be sexually open to other people or stuff like that.
Not at all.
And
that's exactly what I was going to ask, is that, you know, you speak a lot about curiosity and being curious. Does being curious mean being curious about everything and anything?
Sure.
And to what extent are people allowed to have limitations?
Okay. So that's really an interesting question. Let's put that in the context of consciousness. Okay, so consciousness says, particularly, let's say, in a sexual or sensual sense, that there's a purpose to what we're doing and we've made a conscious choice about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if... Can I put you on the spot for a second?
Sure.
Okay.
So,
you shouldn't have asked that question.
He said he was going to put me through the ringer, so...
No, I'm not. I'm just going to ask you. If you said that Claudine was like your first serious kind of relationship,
yeah.
Have you had sex with other women?
I have.
Okay, that's all I'm going to ask you.
Cool.
Okay, so simple thing with that says, at some point in your life, in all of our lives, we are going to be curious about something with somebody else or a different way of having a relationship, a different lifestyle, a different experience.
You better not, or I'll cut your balls off.
Okay, that's a different incentive.
You see, that's why I'm scared. There has to be limitation.
That says no. Just give him more chocolate.
I'll do anything for chocolate.
Exactly. Honey, okay. Look, I got you a whole bunny.
Okay. So we look at sex and sensuality in a way that is firstly very judgmental, and it's based on patterning and conditioning that we get from the past, from our parents, from religion, from school, from society, from so many different institutions. Most of what we believe about that, we have never looked at for ourselves. We've never looked and said, does this belief actually serve me?
Mm.
So, for example, there is a common belief amongst a lot of therapists that if somebody has an affair, relationship is over. And a lot of people believe that. And nothing could be further from the truth. That's more a belief than anything else.
Jonty, what are you telling my man?
I'm not telling him. Let me finish here.
Okay, fine.
Have patience.
It's starting to sound bad. I regret bringing you on the show.
Yes. But don't worry, it's going to end beautifully.
It's going to end well, I promise. Okay. Okay, so that's the first thing.
Cool.
Is we have all these patterns, all this conditioning, all of this judgment. When we start looking at that, we say, so what do I really believe? What kind of relationship would I really like to have? What kind of experiences would be important and help me fulfill myself? Okay. Then we bring the idea of consciousness into it. So when you just say, okay, so I just want to go and screw everything that I absolutely can, there's no consciousness in that. Consciousness says, if I'm going to have an experience, why? What am I going to get from it? What can I heal? What can I reveal? What can I show you of me, me of you? Where can we go with something? And that becomes very, very different.
If I can just elaborate from a more, let's say, the normal person point of view.
There's none of those in this room.
Okay. So don't even try. Sorry. Actually, as I said, normal? Yeah. So, no. You know, when you come to a relationship, people say, are you getting married or do you want a wedding, right? So, as you get married and you are conscious about, again, it's all about the consciousness. Why am I doing it? Do I just want to please my family? Who's the person? So there's so many questions coming to that thing. But, you know, I know you, well, I know Claudine, and now I know you a little bit more. But I know Claudine, and there's no doubt in my heart that both of you have good, you know, you've thought about it, and it's something very conscious. Mm. The thing is that when you marry a person, it's going to be still the same person in 5 years. And we start the conversation from the fact that people get used to one another. Mm. And they get, Jonty always says, you do things in the same pattern, right? You eat in the same way and you have sex in the same way. And you don't mean to do it. It just happens. And if you were a person that was very curious also maybe to have other experience with other people, you might discover that urge again one day. But curiosity, thanks. Screaming in my own ears. Curiosity and vulnerability are the key. Always goes back to that. Why am I with this person? Because if this relationship is not valid anymore, so maybe we should, you know, separate paths and go to separate ways. But if we are together and we can keep on feeding it, that's wonderful. But if that person, I fell in love with a player, I need to also take under consideration that maybe one day the question will come up and say, what would it take, or would you consider one day to open in a certain way this relationship? Now, this was the man I fell in love with, or the woman, okay? So it's kind of like almost not fair. But when you fall in love with a person that you really know that you can do a journey, you can walk the path with, then there's so much to do. You don't need to consider swinging, and you don't need to. There's so much fantasies to explore. There's so much beauty.
If we take the labels off of things, then we say, so. Let's say at some point you guys decide, so we'd like to have sex with somebody else, another man, another woman, another 20 people, whatever. Then the first question has to be, why?
Yeah.
And that's
what is missing from our relationship that we need.
No, it's not necessarily that something's missing, because that puts it back in a judgmental place. Instead of saying, why?
Yeah.
What could we get from this?
Well,
and then it's not a question of diving in the deep end, because that's often where we get destructive. So and say, okay, so first let's talk about it, and let's talk, 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 and talk, and talk, and talk, until we have talked ourselves.
Until next Easter show.
That's it.
Yes.
Because that becomes the most important thing. So you're opening this door to communication. So something's exciting for you. It's not exciting for you. Mm-hmm. Why? Why is it exciting for you? Why is it not exciting for you? And immediately you're sharing a whole lot more. Then at some point you say, okay, so maybe we need to dip a toe into the water. And then we stop and we take a step back and we see, what did we get from that? What happened? What were the feelings? What were the emotions? What were the thoughts? What came from that?
Don't forget, Jonty's throwing you kind of to the deep end. It's like usually exactly curiosity and vulnerability and conscious choices will help you to be in a place that you will fulfill your relationship to extend and extend and extend it. We're talking about what's going to happen down the line. People usually come to see Jonty or to relationship counseling when it's a bit late.
Yes.
Work because nobody teaches to be good lovers, and
we
nobody
don't have
teaches
education for relationships.
Yeah, nobody gives us that. So it's kind of like when you hit 35, 40, 45, 50, you all of a sudden say, "What? I just thought it's going to be like Hollywood. I just thought I'm going to find the perfect woman and everything's going to be right." And it's not. So we're just putting the cards on the table. Doesn't mean anything.
No, of course. And the whole thing
is you do that with everything in life.
So Claudine, put down the knife.
Exactly. But the whole thing is it's about not being complacent.
That's the thing.
It's about not being complacent. It's about Daniel and I constantly finding new, exciting, different ways of loving each other.
Yeah, but that means finding new, exciting things about you.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Keep your passion alive. So generally, we read the same kind of books. We watch the same kind of movies. We go to the same kind of places. We eat the same kind
keep
of food.
Keep your world rich.
We talk to the same kind of people. You have the most amazing gift, because the one thing that you do that I think is fantastic, anybody new that comes along that is interesting in any way, tomorrow wants to spend time with them.
Yeah.
And that really is incredible. Like, we meet people here at the studio, out and about, wherever we are, and you have this amazing thing. You just want to spend time with these new people.
Mm.
And it's incredible because you keep
it's a very loving energy. It's a very
– yeah, but beyond that, it keeps things interesting, because I hear about, like, where do you come from? So I was out for supper last night with one of my cousins, and there was a guy behind us at the table, and we'd asked for the bill, and he sent the bill to that table.
Yeah.
So eventually we got the bill, and I went up to the guy afterwards and I said, you could have paid for supper, you know. It would have been fine. And he was a guy here from Spain on a working contract, and we ended
up – so he really could have paid for supper.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Just put a euro.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's it.
And but when you do that, you end up having a really cool five-minute conversation.
Get out of your comfort zone.
Here's this guy from Spain. Absolutely fantastic, and you connect with somebody.
But it's also people come into your life for a reason. You attracted this Spanish dude. He could have been somebody from your past life who you needed to connect with. I mean, past lives is a whole other show. Telling you, I believe in this stuff. I really do. I think it's law of attraction.
But a lot of it
everybody comes into your life for a reason.
Yeah, but a lot of it's creating that and being willing to go out and say hi to somebody, or to pick up a different kind of book, or watch a different kind of movie, listen to different music, go somewhere you've never been before, and that's where we kind of keep that. And then we need to go on, and I think this is vital for everybody, and it's vital for relationships.
Mm.
You need to have a personal path of growth and of spiritual practice.
Yeah.
You need that practice to keep yourself connected to something more, something bigger. So for me, ritual has always been and is becoming kind of more and more and more important. And it's one of the beautiful things about the sweat that we did on so many of the sexual and sensual experiences. When you put them in that ritual context, they become enormous, and the possibilities in them become huge.
Yeah, I really love what you're saying. And for me, the immediate thing it connects me to is growing a career.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's strange how in work environments, you have all these structures in place. Mm. You get your performance reviews. They encourage you to read more, to learn more. They take you to training, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
And you have none of that support in the context
of your relationship.
So which,
yourself.
Yeah, which is, exactly. I think your self-development, definitely.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. And I think that, you know, some of the best advice I've gotten about my career is just how willing are you to learn more over and above your day-to-day 9-to-5.
And how much of your career becomes an extension of what's happening inside of you.
Yes. And I think that I've definitely experienced that. And I think it's a really interesting point. And thank you for sharing that. Because
it is
I think it's something that if more people connected to it in that context and to see the spaces in their life where they are actually being developed or developing forcefully and apply that to the spaces in their life where they're not, I think lots of people would be a lot happier, right?
Yeah. And we do. We become incredibly complacent and lazy in relationship. So you want a beautiful exercise.
Here is
an amazing exercise to do
tip
with your partner.
Tip of the day.
Here we go.
Yeah, Claudine, yeah.
There we go. So you guys will have fun with this, I think. And it's an amazing thing to keep coming back to. Important to keep coming back to because we keep on changing.
Yep. Mm.
So what's important to us now is not important in 5 years' time. You're going to have kids. When they're small, certain things are important. When they're bigger, those things don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in the journey through life. So here's an amazing exercise. You make two lists, more or less 10 things on each list. And if you have 7, absolutely fine too. First list is what's important for you to give in a relationship. Second is what's important for you to receive in a relationship. First list that you write, chuck away. Because it's the knee-jerk stuff.
Yeah.
I want to love you.
Support.
What does that mean? I want to be loved. What does that mean? Second list, chuck away. Third list.
The face is priceless.
You're starting to get a little bit real. But after that, you're starting to get more. Because then you go beyond the patterning. You go beyond what you think is important to, wait a minute, is this really important? And why you got to look at both of these lists is because if I can't give to you the stuff that's important for me, it means a whole part of me is actually being suppressed. Mm. I can't express that. If I can't fully receive from you, I can't open the space for you to express the things that are important for you. So that gets suppressed. So we have this whole kind of all these blockages and imbalances between us.
Well, both are equally vital.
Yes.
You know, it's just as important to be able to give as it is to receive. And a lot of us don't come from that sort of mentality. We come from, oh, you're so selfish. You've got to give and give and give. But that makes for really bad lovers.
Yeah, but there's a very big difference between being selfish and self-ish.
Yes.
So let me share. Let me share something with you.
Jew-ish.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
I eat hummus.
Yeah. So there's an amazing guy called Anthony DeMello. He was a Jesuit priest, and I came across his work years ago. It was a quote in another book. I go on this big hunt to find Anthony DeMello's book. Phone every bookshop in Joburg. Nobody's got it. Get a phone call one day from a bookshop. We got the book. It was called The Way to Love. So off I go, and I'm reading the back of the book, and I see Anthony DeMello was a Jesuit priest. Why am I going to read a book by a Jesuit priest? And I watch myself play that idea out, and I say, you're going to read this whole book just to change that very limited idea in your head. It had huge impact on my thinking. He talks about the fact that everything we do, it doesn't matter how charitable or altruistic it is, we are getting something from it. Okay. The important thing with that starts to become to say, what am I getting from being in relationship with you? I'm in relationship with you because that helps me be happier. My conscious choice was to do that.
Yeah.
Dan's conscious choice is to suffer for the next 30, 40, 50 odd years.
Damn right.
But the truth is true altruism, and this is exactly what you're saying – there's no such concept. And it's a wonderful thing to think that you can be truly altruistic and have absolutely no sort of benefit. It's it's against human nature. If I see an act of kindness, I'm benefiting from it.
Yes.
It's changing the levels
Totally giving, that's feeding my soul. Mm. That's why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as soon as I consciously acknowledge that, I've made a beautiful, beautiful connection. That's why the giving and the receiving become so important. But a lot of times, we don't even know what we want.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe it's okay to just, when you discover that you don't want to go deeper than that, it's also okay. There's a lot of people, you know, defense mechanisms are coming for a reason.
Yeah.
And psychologists always say, don't break those defense mechanisms. So if for now, as Jonty said, you know, young couple or it's a couple with small kids, it's not always the right time to go as deep as possible. But it is important to put the question, why? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Keep on being in touch with yourself. There is so much mind shift that is happening when you just allow yourself to say, I deserve to ask why, and I actually maybe wasn't meant to suffer all this lifetime. And there's something about the sensual space when you make it safe. You know, there's so many organizations of Jewish people and Catholic and whatever that encourage healthy relationships, sensual exploration within the marriage, because it's so powerful, because it really enhances your desire to life, your happiness, your serotonin, whatever, all the influences in your brain. So do it in your own set.
So it doesn't matter what choices you make. The important thing becomes knowing why. Have you made a choice from a fear space, from a space of judgment? So if I share this with you, that this is something that's important to me, are you going to judge me? Are you going to leave me? Or am I making a choice from a possibility and a space of growth, from potential, from exploration, from curiosity, from what can come from something that will help me be more of who I really am, that will open the door to help you be more of who you really are. And that opens the door for us to be this absolutely amazing, incredible, constantly growing entity. Is that easy? Fuck no! It's one of the hardest things that you can do. To have that kind of relationship is one of the hardest things that you can do. Full stop. And it's constant.
But it's so rewarding, John.
But
T.
it's the only, when you make a choice for consciousness, it becomes the only way that you actually can live.
And it's also, it's about, I mean, I know we're talking now not even on a purely sexual level. It's about exploring little things together that we both find really interesting. So like at the moment, we're both doing boxing. And it's something that we both really love. We probably are on different ability levels and whatever.
Claudia is much better than me.
Yeah, full body padding everywhere.
But it really is. It's about finding stuff and activities and things that you can do together as a couple.
So think about the opportunity that something like that brings.
Yeah.
Because really that can get you into some real fire energy.
Yeah, we spoke about punching before sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried that. I was like, ow, stop hurting me.
Try with the gloves. Try with the gloves.
I just want to ask a question though, because I mean, I do find what you're saying really fascinating, but I also think that discomfort is a real thing for certain people.
Yes.
And, you know, one party in a relationship may be really excited to explore, really want to push the boundaries. The other party may be a bit repressed, uncomfortable and not willing to go further. So what do you say to couples in those situations? How can you bridge the gap between those two worlds?
Okay, it's a really good question. And there's no simple and easy answer.
John, before you start, can I just say one thing, because you're going to give the right answer? If you can just start, just before you ask the question, where is it coming from? You know, when somebody wants to push the boundary and somebody doesn't. You know, if I love you, sorry, Claudine. When I love my partner, of course I want, you know, I want to be who I am, to make myself, to, you know, have the full expression. But also, what does it mean? As Jonty said, you know, just to discuss even what I like doesn't mean I have to go tomorrow. And this is something before Jonty answers. When you have an open relationship, people think, let's say, okay, that's the ultimate thing people are scared of, right? Open relationship. So when you have an open relationship, I realize that you think you can do everything, right? That is another misconception, because you have actually more responsibility. So it really depends. First of all, if that's my partner, before I even push a boundary, I need to consider myself, my own growth, and then my partner, but I need to consider my partner as well. Mm. And before you even go to how you do it or how far you go, it's also to look at the person. This is a person you truly care for. And you know, it's not like, listen, you know, I have to kiss another woman. I just have to. So it's more about, I would like to express the energy. I would like to express the idea. And then you can start even going about it, because it's most of all, it's expressing yourself. But then, Jonty, please.
So there's quite a lot of things in that. And the first thing is that in this life, the most important thing that you can do is to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
So, wonderful old Jewish story.
It sounds like you're doing a Pesach show.
We will do.
This really impacted on me. It's about three great rabbis. So for the word rabbis, we can put the word sages.
Teachers,
we can put the word mystics. We can put the word anything you like. So they're getting ready to die. And they say, presumably, we're going to be confronted by some kind of heavenly court, and we're going to be called to account for our lives. We're not going to be asked, why weren't you like Moses, or why weren't you like Jesus, or why weren't you like Buddha? You're going to be asked, why weren't you like Jonty? That is your goal in life, to be the most that you can be. Yeah. And in that, who are you going to be? What kind of relationships would you like to have that will allow you that experience? And there's a huge mind shift in that. Bottom line of it is, sometimes the relationships we're in don't serve us. They've served a purpose. They've done a time. That's all. And sometimes there's a way around that, and sometimes there's not. But the idea of growth says that there's a lot of change, and sometimes the people in our lives change. And sometimes that's really difficult. And as I said, there is no simple answer to that question. And anybody who says there is, absolute nonsense. There isn't. But if we go back to, why do we want to do something? Where does that come from within us? And can I walk this journey with you that allows me to be the most of who I am? And if at some point in your life somebody is not giving you the space, or you are not allowing yourself the space, because that's the truth of it. You give yourself the space or you don't. You take it, you create it, you make it. If you cannot do that with and for yourself because of some kind of fear, and that's all it is that holds us back, is some kind of fear. If you cannot do that, you're not in the right space. And that's the bottom line of it. I learned some stuff about myself yesterday that was some of the deepest things ever.
And were you yesterday? What was this? I want to come as well.
Why wasn't the whole world listening?
Well, they were on some level.
Okay.
But the bottom line of it comes down to saying, from all of those comes the simple fact that says, the more that I know, the more I can create the life that allows me to express that. And then I consciously choose the people and the path and the work and the everything else that allows that. And that is what we are here for.
And that's a good incentive to start working on a relationship. You know, we are so afraid to lose, or so afraid that somebody's going to cheat.
As soon as that fear is there, that's where you come from. And everything becomes a limitation.
Be mindful and consciousness.
And the truth and of any relationship, regardless of whatever ceremony that you've had, regardless of what level of commitment you choose, regardless of whatever document you write and sign, and in whatever way it is that you choose to do that, the bottom line of any relationship says, I choose to be with you today because that helps my world be happier. And I make this choice every morning.
Oh, she's kissing him now. Oh, that's beautiful.
And for 35, 50 years, however long it's going to be.
65 at least.
If you can.
On our walk.
It's like, no, we are not going yet. No. We're not done.
I'd be more. Mommy Claudine, if you're listening, I'd be more aware of mother-in-law.
No, definitely not concerned about that one.
So, simple truth is,
Simple
truth is, if you can wake up and look at each other every morning and consciously say, I don't care how much we've been fighting. I don't care about how difficult things are. I don't care about anything. My choice, regardless of all of that, is that I choose to be with you today.
Mm.
And that's it, because we have no clue of anything else. Mm. Bottom line.
This has been a wonderful love session for Daniel and I. Thank you very much.
Who needs marriage lessons? That's seriously.
So, the bull will be fine.
What are they teaching marriage lessons? How to make food, how to pet? What do you do?
I actually think it is about how to treat your wife according to Jewish law. I'm not too sure. We'll go for it and let you know.
John is Jewish. Just go to him. It's much better and more practical.
Yeah. So over the weekend, for everybody who's listening to us, and whenever you hear this, because it goes out on the podcast and people dip into it all the time. Whenever you're listening to it, wake up in the morning and make the choice of how you want to live your life today and who do you want in your life today. We wish you all so much pleasure. Have a wonderful weekend.
Enjoy your Easter.
This is CliffCentral.com.